gone one up top. We're gone one up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're gone one up top. We're gone one up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You are listening to the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And a very big welcome to this week's episode of One Up Top. Two losses in the spin for Bows. Things have got to change on Saturday, don't they, Jordan?
Yeah, sadly, my points prediction has gone fucking tits up. I expected 4 out of 12. We've got 1 out of 9 so far. Look, it's grim reading, but we go again, as you say, and we're joined this week by a name you've been very familiar with over the years. That would have been, had a little asterisk beside him in the out injured, but myself and Jamie have seen him in person, and we are hoping he gets back. So welcome to the show, Christian Markson. How are you getting on?
All good, thanks for having me, lads.
Welcome to RTE. we want to thank last week's guest Sam Gregan, who came on, who gave us a couple of stories about Millwall, his punk bands. It was actually really, really good listen. Many people will notice had to be taken down for a short period. It was a brief hiccup, a legal hiccup, which we've since sorted. But look, one legal challenge 18 weeks into a podcast is pretty good going. Want to thank our sponsors as always. That's Grand Crew Beers, New Age Barbers, and Waltz Fashions. And we'll start as always what we do with the league table and where we are after those two defeats. And we're in fifth place right now. Look, we've a game in hand over Derry, and we're 4 points behind. It's not the end of the world, but it did feel like it was quite a crushing blow the last two games. And Christian, you're probably looking at the league table. Probably no surprise that Rovers are 9 points ahead at the moment, is it?
Do you know it is? It's everywhere you go, like in every league. If you have the money, you are going to win it. If you look at the big teams, it's the same thing. But now it's tough with Bows as well. Like I've seen some, like they have, what, 6 games in 18 days?
Yeah,
or
18 games longer.
It's tough, yeah. Like it's not easy, you know. And especially like playing good teams. Like as well with Bows, you see that they change the teams every fucking year.
You know,
it's hard. Especially now... You've got some money from Matt Doherty, so hopefully there's money
coming out of the fucking ears in that club.
You know what? We thought we were going to spend it all when Chippy left as financial director, but now he's president, we're completely fucked.
Definitely, yeah.
You've probably seen plenty of players coming in now. You seem to survive it all. You'd always get kept on every year. But
I still don't know how.
And there's no way you could play 6 games in 18 days.
I haven't played 6 games in fucking 5 years.
We'll start with Friday's absolute disaster, and thankfully I wasn't able to watch it because my fire stick wouldn't work in the hotel. Finn Harps at home, 2-1 defeat. Oh, no, you were giving it socks in Section A, no doubt, so talk us through that there.
It was a rare game. I think one thing you should take away from these two games is, and with football in general, it's very easy to think the world's on fire when results aren't going your way. And I think it's very easy to get carried away and think you're invincible when you win a couple of games. So now we can't see where the next win comes. We win a couple of games, everyone thinks, you know, who's going to beat us? That's the nature of football as it is. And at the moment, we are down at the fucking doldrums. Yeah. The disappointing thing about me for Friday was, first half, we played very well. We could have got a couple of goals. Kelly missed a couple of chances. Wardy missed a chance. Could have been home and house at half time. It then came to the second half and fucking... Do you know what? It was just very frustrating because it looked like a Finn Harps team who played 120 minutes on Tuesday outworked us more than anything. Like the second half, they didn't show up. They looked like they wanted it more. And look, they got the rewards.
You've probably played against Finn Harps. Well, they were on the bench probably a couple of times against Finn Harps. But a dogged outfit will come down, they'll kick you, they'll hit you.
Awful team to play. I've never actually played against them, to be fair. I played for the 19s against them. Yeah. That was actually my first game after the metatarsal injury. Awful. The 19s as well. Just kick you.
Just how they're kind of their drill up there.
Yeah.
I want to talk about one player, and I was chatting to a couple of people during the week about him, and we said, look, I don't particularly like him as a player. He looks like he's Rovers through and through, gives us socks against us, but that's Sean Boyd. He's got a couple of goals the last couple of games.
He looks like a Bows forward in his nature of his play.
Yeah, how he plays,
We were having a conversation last night in the car way in the back, and as much as we don't like the little pucks, you're looking at him and going, he's literally a Keith Long centre forward.
He could do a job, you know. And we don't know if Georgie Kelly's going to stay with the club this year after some comments made about heading to Derry City, because you know they've got money now. But look, that's all up for debate still. But Sean Boyd, do you have any opinion on?
I don't know.
You can say he's a wanker. I've come on, we say it as well.
Yeah, the Rovers fan, he's a wanker. But I actually haven't seen enough of him. Yeah. I've seen his goals there.
He's got a great one against Dundalk there. The great touch was brilliant.
I don't give him credit for anything because he's a Rovers coach. But I'm going to say the ground helped him with that bounce.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Speaking of the ground, we were up there last night. A bitter cold night in Oriel Park. Cold nights are back at football. I've actually got a bleeding head cold since then. I've been on Lemsips all day. You're watching that game last night, and the one thing that sticks out to you in Oriel Park for me is that the break of the ball is so important up there because it just bounces around.
It's hard to know how it even bounces.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can get away from players, and sometimes it just happens to hold itself up. It's a bit bizarre.
Yeah.
I suppose Christian, the old fucking Astros would have been too kind to your knees. Have you played up in Oriel yourself?
Don't want to tell you this, but that's where I done my first ACL.
We've always had injuries up there. I know Danny Grant got injured up there. Rob Cormack got injured. Pete Long doesn't like to start players up there. Didn't Corcoran play much football up there? No, he didn't. He doesn't like to start players up there because they know how bad the pitch is. They know they get injured.
It's an awful pitch.
It's really bad.
They've got so much money and they just don't do anything about it.
I think the thing about Dundalk is it's all about 90 minutes for them. It's not about what happens off the scenes. You know, it's 90 minutes, win the match, the community thing, the stadium. They don't give a fuck, to be honest. Like, that club died the minute Martin Connolly walked out of the door.
Yeah, a good man.
But a couple of things from last night, just a couple of notes. Tyreek Wilson was back in the team.
Yeah,
and he was absolutely brilliant last night.
I don't think Breslin had his best game on Friday night, and I think Tyreek had I think his best player on the pitch for us anyway yesterday. So it's going to be interesting to see who starts Saturday. It could be a case now where, look, Breslin, you've lost your spot now.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a possibility around 100%. Yeah. That's nearly how Keith Long operates at this stage.
Deadly.
I think Ali Q came on the second half, changed things up big time.
Yeah.
I don't know what the story is with his fitness. It's a weird one. It seems like
him and Bort were 50-50 for the last two games. He's playing them, and Bort looked like he went down injured as well.
The old thing is, don't play them if they're injured, but then we fuck all else there. Like, that's
we don't. Like, you're laughing, Christian. We're looking at the bench thinking, you know, we've got a player down in Wexford, Jack Moylan, doing bits, but like, do you bring him back? Do you keep him there? You know, like,
Jack's a beast.
Yeah, he's a good lad as well.
Yeah, he's a great lad. I know from the 19s, and then we've got a few training sessions. Yeah, the first day.
You might have played football with each other.
he's a great lad, and I think probably next year he's definitely going to be
a bigger player.
Yeah, he's going to be a bigger player for Bowles, especially I've seen him banging in the goals for Wexford. And he's going to be doing great next year with Bowles.
I think you're right. Imagine if we had both Moylan and Malin fit back in, you know,
as backups
to Q and Bird. It's four really good wingers if you think in that sense, you know.
Would you
like to play with the two lads that are out wide at the moment, you know, in a 4-2-3-1 the way we play? Would you like to play with Bird on one side and Ali on the other, or is there?
I'd say so. Just put the ball in and I'll be there. Did they put it in enough though?
You know, sometimes, Ali likes a shot.
Lean Bort, they do go in a little bit more.
They've got the ability though.
Yeah, they do. But it's too, like even them two, and then with Dawson in midfield,
Would you like the intensity of Rossi and Dawson, what they offer and what Bucco does? Yeah.
Rossi would help you so much, especially him playing in the 10. He'd help you so much going forward. So
nobody knew he'd be a second striker, number 10 to start of the year.
I think it was evident then yesterday that, I know it was a makeshift job with the hectic games, but he wasn't effective at all on the left wing as normally he is.
He didn't do a good job.
The boy was in the number 10 position, and he didn't get the freedom of fucking Dundalk that he'd normally get in the eight.
And we just like, I know 2019 Levo and Bucco were great in the middle because we kind of played two sitting players. No, I like Levo as a player.
I think Levo was even that bad yesterday.
He was. No, I thought Levo was decent enough. I mean, Buckley was taken off, and maybe that's because the pitch or whatever. But you know, we just lose a lot of intensity without Dawson in there. And no, if Dawson goes next year, we'll really struggle to replace
Dawson.
Dawson
is a baller.
It's just unbelievable. Did you think he was going to be the number 8 at Bowes when you played with him? Did you think that he's going to go from number 10 to being this deep lion?
I thought he was going to be in the 10, but I can see why Keith has him in 8.
Yeah.
He likes to get on the ball all the time.
With that Tom Brady. But
with the 10.
Essentially like
quarterback.
Pretty much. Like with the 10, he wouldn't get on the ball as much as he does in the 8.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
He's the only player that calls for the ball for 90 minutes. Give me that. And even if it's a bad pass, he's still making stuff happen.
Unbelievable.
Another unbelievable player there last night, and I thought he was man of the match for us, was James Talbot. He made a triple save. He made some unbelievable saves in the first half as well. I mean, that game could have easily been, you know, 4-1 to them. It could have easily been 2-2, though. You know, we did have our chances. And another player who's, look, he's not had the best couple of weeks, that's James Findlay again. And
That what we said, mentioned, it's just that fucking, this time bomb that he has on him, that you're just waiting for, you know, just, it's all right, he wants to try to play the football and get it back down, but sometimes, you know, fucking just get rid of it.
Yeah, you played with James in 2019.
Yeah. I did play with James a little bit. I remember when we went to Hungary.
Yeah.
Played the Hungarian team in
Europe.
He came on, 15 minutes?
Yeah, he's just, and, he ran the show.
He was a beast. Yeah. Have you seen him going forward and all? Jesus, speed of him, man. I heard one of the lads were saying that the Hungarian manager was in the stands saying that's exactly the type of player he wants for the fucking national team.
Charging forward. We were just a goal in his mind. Now he tried to the team. And look, as I said, we said it there last week, like, James Finley's he's a better player than what a lot of players have in their squads. And, you know, he might not be starting regularly, but there's certainly a lot more to come from James.
Good competition, you know, at the back. Rob is just, he's huge.
Yeah.
Hard to play against him. And then, Jesus. All right.
now he's not playing football. He's smoking 20 a day. He's a pack of rotters beside him.
I didn't want to say anything, you know.
Bang a smoke on his quill. But as you said, look, Rob's a good player. Rob had to come on last night. He deputised with the armband when Buckley went off. Yeah. And as you said, it's just not a coin pitch. And look,
Kieran Kelly doing well now as well. He's
when he went away last season to Ballymena, was there a thought that you might not see him again? That could be the last thing he falls, or did you think he was going to come back as strong as it was?
I didn't think Keir would take him back. Like, I don't know. Like, I liked him.
Yeah.
I really like Kieran. But, like, he's fast. He's strong. He's got everything for a centre-back.
He's got hair like Jamie, too.
Yeah. Oh.
Awful hair. My co-host is saying that you could be going a bit bald, Kieran. So that was just... It was Jordan O'Reilly.
Well, I've changed it from last year anyway, so they didn't get away of.
Not that would fit me, would you? Brilliant. We'll move on to our guest now, yourself, Christian.
And as we do with all our guests that come into the Yale office, Christian, we go back to the beginning. Now, we're going to go to Bowles first, because after that we're going to rewind a bit more. But how did you manage to sign for the big club?
I was on trial. Kid came up to one of my games in Lucan. I was playing with the first team. I started playing for the first team in Lucan at 15 or something. Mm-hmm. Then he came up. I was about 16. Came up to one of my games, watched me, and told me to go down and train with them. Like, and said, "Yeah, why not? Obviously, first team football at 16. It's fucking great." Went down my first session. Scored about five goals, and at the end, like the usual games at the end that we play, scored about five goals. And he came up to me after the session, going like, "I'll give you a contract right now if you want to sign."
It's a sign for the 19s, was it?
No, first team straight away. First team contract straight away. He offered it to me, and I said, "Look, obviously, give me some time. Like, I'm gonna keep training with you and all. I wanted to go to England and." I was stupid when I was 16, you know. All I wanted to do was go to England, but I didn't realise how good Bowles were probably for me. Do you get me?
You would have had no clue about the League of Ireland, probably.
No, I actually didn't. I did not have a clue. I didn't know any of the teams.
Yeah.
I didn't know any of the players. Like, didn't have a clue.
You didn't know, yeah. But you were born in Romania, though. You weren't born in Ireland.
So I was born in Romania. So I came here when I was 14.
So you're only in the country 2 years before you signed for Bowles.
Yeah,
pretty much.
And talk about Romania there. You were part of Hagi's Academy. Could you expand on this a little bit?
Georgi Hagi.
We've heard about it.
Yeah. But, a lot of people have said, you know, he was part of Hagi's Academy. Like, fuck off. No, he wasn't.
Oh, the famous, isn't it? The legend there. Yeah, look, I went there when I was 10, actually. And to be fair, fucking probably two of the best and worst years of my life in a way. Because, like, going there... When I was 10 years old, fucking living in a hotel, living the life. Like, I was literally me and the other boys from all over Romania.
Yeah, so where in Romania are you from, and where was the academy?
I'm from, like, the north kind of side, like Transylvania and all, the nice part.
I want to shock your blood.
Yeah. Dracula, that's how it is.
That's the one, without being stereotypical.
Then Hagi's Academy is literally all the way to the south, like right beside the sea in the south.
Right.
So basically, like, that's... When I was leaving, it's 9 hours away from.
Yeah.
So, like, Romania's big, you know.
Yeah.
And I literally had to leave. Like, my family in my city where I was born, yeah. And
I had 10 years of age.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, yeah. But like, it was great. We're fucking staying in Hadji's hotel.
Yeah.
Free food, free travelling, free school, everything. Like, yeah. A lot of training every day.
Yeah.
It was great. Like, it was great. And to be honest, the facilities they have there, I don't know if you've seen pictures or anything.
No, I didn't get to look at it.
But fuck me, boys. The facility they've got, like, basically, like a fucking English
academy. A school of excellence, like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's put so much money into it. And to be fair, like, if you look at all the Romanian, like, even the Romanian national team, I'd say half of that team is all from Hadji's academy.
And is that academy, it's not linked to any clubs at all? It's not, like, not linked to, like, Bucharest or any of those, or Cluj or anything like that?
Look, like, Hadji's actually good friends with the owner of Steaua Bucharest.
Yeah.
So he does... he does give players to Steaua Bucharest because, to be fair, he does get a few quid from them. But like, what he's done, right, when he built the academy, he built it like IX Academy, right?
Okay, right, yeah.
So he went by their standards, like even training. When we were young, like, we were playing 3-4-3 the way IX were playing. Then they went to 4-3-3 the way IX were playing. So, like, even training sessions... the exact same, like, IX were doing.
Yeah, so that's the best academy in Europe.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. So, like, that's why he went by that to obviously...
And was there many... Did you play any starlet names that you can think of? That you would have played it back then, or was it all just too distant?
To be fair, we've been around. We've been to Greece, right? We played against Panathinaikos. We played against PAOK as well. We've played against Galatasaray.
Yeah.
We went there. I actually scored a hat trick against
them. So you play as the team is just Georgie. It's Georgie Kelly's academy team.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I
would
say Georgie Kelly.
Georgie Kelly.
Georgie Kelly's academy. Just a series of bald men.
We played against Sporting. I was about 11, right? Sporting came to Romania to some tournament. And I'm not even messing, right? We were the best academy in Romania, best team in Romania. Lost against Sporting 6-0.
Really, yeah?
They bashed us.
They were
oh, my God. I swear to God, the best footballing team I've ever seen. Now, I was only 11. We were only 11, like, but unbelievable.
So what year did you finish with that academy?
I was 12. So 2 years there. Then I went to Cluj, CFR Cluj.
Yeah.
We've been playing in Europe, obviously, again, for the academy.
Played against United.
I was at the match when they played against United.
Yeah.
I was fuming. That's when Ronaldo left, for fuck's sake. He wasn't there. But, when they lost 2-1 against United, I think, at home, I think it was. 2013, I think it was. I was there a year, and then, like, my family was already here. So I was literally alone in fucking Romania. So I stayed there for a year, and then my family just brought me here.
Came over here, then,
I had to.
And just with regards to, look, we were chatting a couple of people, and they told us that Georgie Hadji tried to block some of your moves because you were still owned by the academy. Is that how it worked, or?
Yeah, you see, I think it was like a compensation because I grew up with them. I think it has to do with every team, right? So if you grow up with them in their academy or whatever, if you want to move for a first team contract or something, I think you're going to have to pay like a little compensation.
Yeah.
But apparently he was asking for fucking 250 grand or something.
Well, you must have valued this seriously well, to be fair.
Over a million.
That's how much an insurance premium would cost on his legs that
stage. it's mad money. Like, I wasn't expecting it. I was meant to go to Sheffield United, apparently. And
what year was this to go to Sheffield?
Right before Bose.
Right before Bose.
Yeah, exactly. I went to Sheffield right before Bose. And apparently they wanted me. Now, I don't know what the story is about it. That's what I heard. I don't know exactly what's going on. But look, like, Hadji, that's why he built the academy, to sell players for profit.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? So obviously, like, he was looking for money, and it is understandable. But now, again, I was only like 16.
It's quite young to have a price tag like that.
Exactly.
Your head, like.
Yeah, exactly. And I was a no one. Like, if you think about it, I came from fucking Lucan United.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Look, it happens. It happened for a reason. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And you signed for, you said after that, you said you signed for Bowles and Key brought you in. You were thrown into Sexton's under 19s. The other 19 team that I think lasted for about 10 years, it seems. Was dominated for quite some time. Like, you won a couple of doubles and whatnot. How did you find your time with the under 19s?
It was great. We had an unbelievable team, to be fair.
Danny Grant, Andy Lawrence, yeah, Paddy Kirk,
amazing. Ali was there, and then to be fair, my first year, Ali wasn't there, so I played a few games on my own, and then Ali came, and we were just like two up front together. We were playing 4-4-2, two up front together. We were unbelievable, and we started winning games.
Yeah.
I think I had like for the 19s. I think I went on like 10 games in a row with scoring in every game. And then I was like, why am I not playing for the first team?
I suppose, look, what year would have been that you were scoring all the goals? It was 2018, 19, I suppose, our strikers at the time would have been.
It was Deeney. Deeney was going through a phase where
Deeney on Stokes would have been on the bench as well. So a bit of competition there.
Yeah, exactly.
So in these couple of years now with Bowes, 18, 19 and 20, like you're synonymous with being someone that was always tipped as like, apparently he is going to be big. He was very good. He's younger, longer, is keeping him around despite the injuries. And the injuries is kind of the one thing that sticks with Bowes fans is Magerson injured. Is he back? So you had a pretty traumatic time with your injuries. And as you said, walking in, you done your ACL
twice and metatarsal three times.
Yeah.
Now, this is why we brought you in, because you know you have this mentality and you keep coming back even before you're saying you still want to come back. And the main thing is you just want to be back kicking a ball in general, whether that's fucking with Bowes in 2 or 3 years or that's with us on a Thursday night down the Harris Street. And, look, your desire is clearly there. Whichever one you end up with, best of luck.
You don't want to play with him, he does track back.
No,
don't get forward to track back. But the forced injury, sort of take us through them.
Right, so... Yeah, look, like even the first year with Bowes was a fucking nightmare. I was waiting for my international clearance. Yeah, but that was taking ages. Like Keith was saying that like I should be here in maximum a month, then we can get you starting and all. And it's just fucking 2 months, 3 months passed. Yeah. International clearance not there, and then metatarsal happened. So I think that was about 3 months in since I signed for Bowes. Metatarsal happened, got back about 6 weeks, happened again, awful timing. Then it happened again, so third time I got a surgery. Came back from that, I was good, I was playing for the 19s. As I said earlier, like I had a good spell with the 19s and all, getting back into it. ACL, I think the next year, I think it was.
It was all in pre-season as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was all in pre-season, and then
2019 was the first ACL, and then 2020 was the other one.
It was basically the second one was 2 weeks into pre-season. Yeah.
I remember the news. The news broke in 2020. It was just Magerson. He's done his ACL again, and everyone was like, "You're fucking joking! Like
can't be happening! Like it can't be because someone can't be that unfortunate.
I mean, like, I'm gonna say this genuinely, Christian. You're the most unlucky cunt I've ever sat beside in my life, and I'll be. Just, I'm presuming the roof is gonna collapse.
I wouldn't be surprised. As you said when I was walking in, what's your fear? You don't want to get injured.
We were meant to get one last week and he got COVID.
No, it works out. He said to me, Magerson is on next week. I said, fucking great, that'd be a great one. And Jordan was like, you're not going to believe this. He was fucking cold. But I said, you know what? I do well believe it. I'm not shocked. I'm not surprised. Fucking hell.
That's exactly what happened. And it's funny because it was the last day as well. Last day of COVID as well when you wanted me in.
what was it like, you know, being in the team then for two seasons where you are injured and all you can do is watch and you've got to watch the team progress and you're stuck in this kind of, you know, limbo between, you know, first team football and possibly even playing football again, you know? So it was probably very tough mentally, was it?
Oh, mentally it was the toughest. And now the second one was probably the worst, I'm not even going to lie. Because this one was a bigger surgery. It was the meniscus as well. And he had to do the IT band, right? So that's why it's a bit longer now. Yeah. It's a full year. The first one was actually 9 months I was back. And even after the 6 months, I was running pretty good and all. And I was literally back training fully in 9 months. But with this one, I still have about 3 months left now. But obviously you want to get myself right, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And then with the lads, to be fair with them, they're all grand. Like, they were nice to me. They were there if I needed someone. Do you know what I mean? Like, especially even Swanee, because he went through it.
He got his injury as well.
He's done it again, yeah.
Has he done it again up the north?
He's done it again, actually texted him today.
He's playing Warren Point, isn't he?
You're bleeding Northern Ireland, Peter. You're fucking mad at the corner.
I know quite a lot about the Danske Bank League. I'll have Interpol at my door tomorrow morning. He's up there with, I think it's like Luke Slater, Gavin Pears. Pretty much the whole team is like half League of Ireland lads up there. So yeah. It's probably a good little setup for players like that.
Yeah. And to be fair, like he's been, I've seen him, he's done it the year before me, yeah. I think it was. And to be fair, like when I done it, he was straight up to me, like fucking saying he'll be back stronger and all. Fair play to him, yeah. You know. And now he's done it again. Feel awful for him because, like, I swear to God, he was working so hard.
Yeah.
I remember, like, when he was with us, he was working so hard. You know,
I thought he did really, really well when he came in for the team for Dinny for those couple of games. He got himself a couple of goals, but...
I don't think he was, as I said, he's not a key long striker. He hasn't got the physical attributes.
Yeah.
Like, you came on and we looked at you and we thought, Jesus, fuck, there's a player
here.
He's fast, he's tall. He can put the ball away. And like you said, what was your record? You've got 3 goals in 5 games, I think it was, or something like that. Yeah, senior football.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, you're looking at us, this is a key long player. He looks a bit quicker than maybe Dinny is. And, you know, this guy's career ahead of you. Where Swan maybe didn't have the physical side to him.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, he battled like fuck, but
he really ran his socks off.
He was a hard worker, yeah. And he was fast as fuck. He was the fastest player on the team.
Was he?
Yeah.
Particularly that game against Rovers when we beat them at home. The 2-1 game with the screamer from a player who will not be mentioned. But he ran his bollocks off that
There's
game.
Only one Romanian man I love as a footballer.
You know who you are.
That in your Instagram story.
just while we're talking about balls players, I have a couple of questions to ask. And just, who was the best player you played with, and even, you know, probably throughout all your career, who was the best player you played with? Let's say abroad first, and then that's it.
Tough one.
And they're all gonna be listening as well, so we're gonna have to break a few hearts. Well, they probably won't. They don't actually. Those losers.
it's a tough one.
This is a good chance to gloat now.
Yeah, like, look, I was away in England a little bit, so, like...
Don't worry, Paul Burns has been there before. He's told us all. I played with Paul McAvena, you know, I played with Charlie Nicholas, you know.
I'd say, like, obviously, if you take it, like, where they are now, probably Trent. Yeah, like, when I was in Liverpool, I was training with that team, with Conor Masterson, Trent
there?
The same. Yeah, Glenn was there, but he was obviously he's a year younger than me. So I was training with a year older than me, and he was with the year younger than me. Mm. I think something like that. So I didn't actually get to play with Glenn. I was playing with the older team.
Mm.
And I got Trent. And if you take it where he's at now,
yeah,
you'd say he's probably the best they played with. And then from Bowes, Dawson. I think that's everyone's fucking answer. Everyone that played with Dawson.
Disappointed man sitting in Huddersfield at the moment, having to listen to this.
I think
Danny is struggling as well after coming back from COVID as well. I think he's kind of on the wrong side.
Released a video and it was just fucking great to see he's back. But it looks like he sadly got, I don't want to say long COVID, but
he's not fully recovered from it.
He's fell back into it.
Another player
about that.
He's got the fucking Magerson disease.
He does. It's the car. You know, the boys were saying as well, it's the car. Every time Danny, because Danny kept getting injured as well. He's too fast, man. He's fucking too fast. And his hammies kept going. So Wardy kept going, it's the car. It's the fucking car. So
every time you give him a lift, he gets injured.
So
I was going to say as well, if you could partner anyone in the world up front, if you had to play a 4-4-2, you want to play alongside any striker up front, who would you actually choose?
I know, I'm a Ronaldo fan, so I have to say Ronaldo.
You're going to say Ronaldo, yeah?
Three weeks of fucking roll. Fucking get Man United fans in their bleeding, pulling themselves asunder.
I'm no United fan, though.
That's
I'm a Liverpool fan. I'm a Liverpool fan.
Hang on a second, you and Ronaldo, you're both probably, you know, both probably the same height, you know, you're big players. I think, you know, we might play with something a little bit different than that, no?
No.
Well, fair enough. I know nothing about football, so I don't care.
Definitely Ronaldo. Just a Ronaldo fan, so I'd say that's why. Now, Haaland, fuck me.
Yeah, she said even though Haaland and Mbappe players
now,
like that.
Yeah, like he's coming up there. He's fucking, do you know what? He robbed all the goals on me, so I wouldn't play with Haaland.
Well, look, somewhere out there, Glenn Crowe sitting there wondering why the fuck isn't he choosing me?
We're saying the same about him. come on.
Answer me text, will you?
Good man, Dave Mulcahy. and I suppose, what's your probably favourite game of Bowson? You signed, was it under-19s or your senior debut?
Now, even if you were part of a team on the bench that you were a game that you were even involved in some respect, like?
obviously it has to be my debut, isn't it? Because yeah. I scored on my debut as
did
well.
Who
was that against? It was against Bray.
That's a 5-1.
Beat him 6-0 or something.
Something like that,
wasn't it? Yeah.
Well, I remember that game.
I scored the last goal. Like, I came on. I played in the 10 as well. He wouldn't take Deeney off. Because Deeney was going through a fucking good spell.
I think Dan O'Kelly got himself a hat-trick there. I think that was...
I think he got either 2 or 3.
Day,
yeah.
That day I had a gamble.
Bray were 20-1.
No, it wasn't. Wasn't it? It was... Bowes to score 2 on plus goals. And... over 9 Bowes corners or something mental like that. And I remember we had loads of corners in the first half, and I don't know who it was, the corner came, we were like 8 corners say, and needed 9. The ball came into the box, and I remember someone a header in it, and a keeper tipped it over the bar, and it was 4-0 at this stage, so the goal was in, and I was jumping up and down like a fucking eagle in the stand. I just scored on it 16-1. I was fucking delighted.
To be fair, some fella texted me after the game. He goes, "Thanks for the money." I was looking at the picture. It was like he had me to score any time. No, I bought a pal.
Then we just have you to play any time.
Yeah. just before Jordan asks you the two golden questions that we ask everyone on this podcast, a former teammate of yours, a former boss player, asked me to ask you this. Are you still making pornos?
That has to be worthy, is it?
No, it wasn't actually.
This is your chance to plug your OnlyFans.
I'd be making more money than anyone else.
I'm not.
Kieran's already turned it off.
Yeah.
Look, as you said, nobody gets away with here lightly. And Bowes is very open and exclusive club, I think, to people of any gender, skin colour, any sexuality.
Yeah.
And you had a bit of femme inside yourself. You're wearing your girlfriend's gym set and a TikTok. Explain this one.
Oh, that has to come out, doesn't it? Fuck me. Oh, I was fuming at Kira doing that. I was fuming, not even
what messing. What do you mean? You wore the fucking thing.
Yeah, I know. Oh, she made me, all right? Fucking TikTok fucking ruins people's lives. She had me wearing it, and do you know that little TikTok trend that was going on? I don't know if she's not, but...
I don't do Tikok.
I don't do it either, but she fucking had me doing it, and I was fuming. And you know what? Rob Connell asked for the video after. I was like, no, don't you dare send that to him. I think he still has it. I don't know.
Ask Rockstar for it after.
Yeah, I'm
posting on the podcast page.
do you call him Rockstar and he calls you Pornstar?
Rockstar.
And your girlfriend said you went during COVID, you were doing a bit of training. You had some running shoes before you went out running.
I don't want to go.
Why be more concerned about the fact this man has been texting your girlfriend?
I know, yeah. That's what's going on. Now that's actually a funny story. Fucking hell. She actually said it to me. Don't drink orange juice before you actually go running, right? I was like, what's going to happen? We went out running, and this is when the first lockdown.
Yeah.
Bose gave me some runs to do, and obviously, fucking, they weren't easy. Three runs in, I was like, oh shit! Literally, shit is coming. I'm not even messing there. I didn't get to go home. Like, I don't want to say the next part. But the bushes were beside me anyway.
I think we all know what happens next.
Yeah, let's not go into that.
We've all been there, so that's for a reason. No.
Actually, Rena had a similar situation after the Rovers game last year. She had to go on the canal.
Yeah, let's just say that. No, can you edit that bit out, please? I actually had to use Gaff Stafford's fucking mask as well. Hand it back to him. There you go, Gaff.
Look, Christian, two last questions because you've been very good to us with that time and whatnot. To pick your 5-a-side team, anyone you play with, you can make it easy with Bowes or you can show off, but it's up to yourself.
Right, we go Bowes. I'd say we go Bowes. James Dalbane goals has to be, isn't it?
Shane Supple won't be happy with that. Tough call, isn't it, between the two of them, isn't it? You know,
it's a tough call.
Supps
really
is a real leader, and James Talbot is just unbelievable.
James Allen is a maniac.
Yeah, he's a maniac. Yeah, he's literally a maniac.
He's an absolute nutcase.
Am I including myself in this? Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, you have to play. I know you might get injured, but you have to play.
I'll play the first 5 minutes. Yeah. we go Rob at the back for. Rockstar at the back.
This is the fourth time Detzer's been left out of a fucking
Rockstar and Detzer. It has to be two at the back. Rockstar and Detzer. Detzer's fucking
sadly, you've got me and Whelan this Thursday.
Fucking midfield is tough. I'll probably, do you know what? Probably go two in midfield. Do I have to go one in midfield? I'll go myself up top and two in midfield. Do you know what I mean?
You've got that two defenders and keeper then.
We'll give you five outfielders this time.
Oh, yeah, shit. I didn't even realise.
Give you five outfielders. Come on.
You're there, right, yeah.
So 2-2-1.
Go on. I'll go Bucco and Doss. Bucco for running all day.
Yeah.
Then Dawson playing the fucking ball and then me up top, I'd say. Yeah.
So no room for Keith Ward, no?
It's tough. For a five-a-side, it's tough. You know?
Yeah, Wardy hardly runs.
Wardy,
so.
Wardy would just take the piss on a five-a-side. But yeah, it's tough. It's a tough call.
That's a good team. It's a good team. A couple of different names in there than what we've had before.
It probably doesn't beat my five-a-side that I've played with, but yeah. look, we gave a bit of time to think this one out. If you had to pick one player, dead or alive, no language barrier, to go on the piss with, who would it be?
Don't say Ronaldo.
He doesn't even drink, yeah.
No, everyone keeps fucking saying him every week.
Oh, I haven't got a clue. See, I didn't drink before I was 21.
Did you not?
No.
Same as me, yeah.
You're 21 or 15?
I'm 21 next year.
It's a tough one.
Anyone at all?
Do you know what? It's funny. It's actually the first time I ever got drunk was Sunday. No, Saturday. This Saturday.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
My birthday. No, my birthday was on the 16th.
Have you had some life affirming change that you said, fuck it, I'm going to become a pisshead now?
Fuck it.
That's what it is. People have been telling me, you haven't been drinking, so that's why you haven't been fucking playing. You've been getting injured. Now you start drinking, you'll see, you won't give a shit. You'll probably become a footballer now.
So Paul Bourne was in here a few weeks ago and he drank like a maniac when he played. So who is it? Come on now. We're not letting you go until you get that answer.
Fuck me. Tough one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't got a clue.
Come on, you have to waffle out.
I haven't got a clue.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you a bit of time to think. If I had to pick one Romanian footballer to go on the piece, it'd be Adrian Mutu. I'm not going to tell you why.
No, 100%.
Cards on the table, that's a new one for the thing.
It has to be him.
I've got one last thing just before we kind of move on to the Longford game. Was what's next for you as a footballer if you're going to try stay in the game and try stay injury free? What's on the horizon for Christian Magerson?
We'll see. I've got 3 months of rehab next. And to be fair, I've worked harder than ever now last few weeks. And I'm going to push for the last 3 months. Fucking, I went up in weight, actually, 85. I used to be 78. Yeah, fucking COVID, that's what I was. But I feel stronger, man. I feel much stronger right now. I don't know how the pace is looking because I haven't fucking ran in 2 years. But I feel stronger. I feel that, in 3 months, in January, hopefully get a team and we'll see where we're at.
Yeah.
The level doesn't matter, does it, at this stage?
I said it to you, obviously not too bad. I don't want to fucking get injured again.
Yeah, you don't want to play a shite pitch and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Look,
if you're on Glenn Lyons on Thursday, so.
To be fair with you, a few Leinster senior clubs from the top league texted me, but I didn't give any answers because this was actually in the last 3 months. So I don't want to think about that now because I'm not at that level yet. I want to get back fully fit and then I'll see a team. You know?
Yeah.
And hopefully get a few games under the belt next year and hopefully get back into the League of Ireland somewhere.
Would you like to see yourself draped in black and red in 3 years' time?
I'd love to go back to balls. Yeah. I would love to. I love the club, man. The fans are fucking unbelievable and you won't get them fans anywhere in Ireland. Do you know what I mean? Brilliant. So I'd love to get back, definitely.
Brilliant stuff.
That's great.
Christian, thanks very much for giving us all the info. I mean, it's probably not easy to come in here and talk about some probably very tough years in your career.
We had a similar conversation with Mark Rossiter that people haven't listened, they probably should go back and listen.
Yeah.
He had cancer in his leg and he couldn't get insured at Sunderland. You know Mark Rossiter?
Jesus, no.
He played for balls, but he was a right back. Well, right back, right wing, right centre.
Yeah.
I think he was 19 at Sunderland. He had cancer in his knee. It got taken out, but he couldn't get insured because for 2 years because he had cancer.
Oh,
but so we couldn't get insured and you couldn't get a team. He basically went home and he said, what did he do? He said it was his birthday. He sat at home and drank two cases of Border and watched the Sopranos for 2 days in a row. And he obviously just depressed out of his head. And he just said, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to prove those cunts wrong. And between me, Jay, and the rest of us, we hope you prove everyone wrong. We hope you're back. You've got a great mentality. And look, please God, he said, we'll see you in black and red and down the line.
Look, mentality is probably the fucking most important part here, especially doing an ACL. And the first one was awful. And I had to kind of get used to it. Look, like, it's going to get me stronger and all. Yeah. Then the second one happened. It was fucking worse than the first one. I'm like, why again? Do you know what I mean? But look, like, it taught me to be patient.
Yeah.
It taught me have good mentality, keep positive, and I'll get back. Like, I'm still 22. Do you know what I mean?
Loads of time.
Fucking Jamie Vardy made it at 27, yeah. Didn't it?
And look, worst case scenario, Christian, you can retire from football and become an absolute loser on a podcast like
this. Exactly, yeah, you're dead right. You're dead right. And
there's always space for you on the back of the bus. not this bus coming Saturday, but we can ask that show.
No, I'm actually oversold by 15, so
all the regulations.
Fucking hell.
Well, we'll move on to Longford now on Saturday. So, Christian, come here, unbelievable stuff. Heartfelt stuff as well. So, we've a big game in Longford on Saturday, down in Flankhare Park. A lovely pitch, as always. Going to be a big travelling contingent. And today on Twitter, I've never seen a League of Ireland club like behave like a child with regards to the ticketing situation.
Also Longford.
Longford. No, look, our fans didn't cover themselves as glory. Longford really let themselves down on Twitter today.
Yeah, I think they did. Longford came out yesterday and they posted a link for away fans. This is what I'm 99% sure what happened. Longford posted a link yesterday for tickets. They only gave us 250, which is nonsense in my opinion.
It's going to be 600 people.
They won't have 200. They won't have 300 or 400 home fans. So, like, 80% of the stadium is going to be empty that you can actually use with COVID. So I think what happened is Longford put out the tweet for the link, both of them take it down. We want to send that to war fans that are members and season ticket holders. So, you know, regular fans don't get the chance until the season ticket holders are gone, which is fair. And so that happened. And so Longford deleted the tweet, but people had saved the yoke. They weren't going active till 10 a.m. So at 10 a.m, Bowles never issued the email, which is probably a bit of the club's fault too. Bowles never emailed the issue at 11:15. It was meant to be at 10 o'clock. In the meantime, people checked the link they had saved the day before.
Alright.
And tickets were going fucking all out. Tickets were being sold. Now, don't get me wrong, it could be all members of the season ticket to happen. But it still probably wasn't fair game. We were thankfully we got our tickets.
Yeah.
You know, you're not in, you're not winning.
But look, we're hoping that Kieran Burke down there, our friend from between the stripes, puts on the yellow soup and sandwiches for us at half time as well. I know they're all the bar there, but look, come on, I'm on a few bottles at half time, Kieran, going to look after the
podcast. But then Longford, we put up a tweet in the podcast.
Page. No. I'd just like to confirm that it's Jordan runs the Twitter. I just sit back. it's Jordan O'Reilly who runs the Twitter, not me.
And
it's all his fault.
That's a funny load of that.
No,
I stuck it to them. To be fair, he stuck it to Longford.
And Longford replied to the tweet and said, "This is not our fault." Blah blah. So then I retweeted, said, "Hold on, you said 10 minutes ago the tickets are sold out. Then you said the tickets were only active because Bowles had a link and they were trying to stay in the league." So Longford deleted about 10, 15 tweets that they were arguing with people, including us. Yeah. You made a tick yourselves.
I'd be absolutely mortified if the Bowles account was arguing with a podcast on Twitter. I'll just put it that way. look, let's talk about the match though for a second. Does Tyreek Wilson keep that spot? Does Andy Lyons come back in? You know, we probably know the rest of the team, pending that Burton.
I think Manley's out, so there's maybe that little
Manley's missing for them.
Presence. I'd play Tyreek if we could give it a go.
Yeah, I'd give Tyreek a game there now out there. I mean, look, we have to win. As simple as that. I mean, we can't lose three on the spin here. Long for the bottom of the table. Now, we beat them away from home. We've drawn with them twice at home. You know, really, so you should be taking 9 points off these minnows.
Get at that poxy left back.
Yeah, get at him. I think it was Longford Streetwear or something like that. He'd just be modelling super dry and diesel and stuff like that.
He's a tea enthusiast as well, I believe.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I don't know. He goes around trying tea. Yeah, we know who we are, right?
Trying tea and picking sip. He's on his Kodak.
Yeah. Fucking easy, Jared. But no. So, look, come here. We'll be giving you all sorts of views, to be fair. But big challenge contingent. There's a couple of buses going down.
There could have been. I said to me and Dave having a conversation, he said there could have been 300 or 400 Bowles fans.
Yeah.
That could have been 600 or 700, maybe more, looking by the demand.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is incredible to think that after two losses on the bounce, that Bowles will be looking to bring 600-700
That's
down
how they're the fucking best fans in Ireland, isn't it?
People are buzzing. People are buzzing for it. I mean, exactly. I can't wait to get a bus back on the road now on Saturday.
Do you make a few quid off of your cunt?
It's been 2 long years, and my bank account's not looking great. To be fair,
look, like, do you know what the thing is as well? Like, when the boys are doing bad, that's the best thing to actually do. The fans should get behind them. Like, that's when they're gonna bounce back.
One thing I was annoyed about a couple of weeks ago was, when we played, I think we'd be there at home, fucking there's people just shouting nonsense abuse at fucking Wardy in the match. And Wardy's a fucking Bowles legend. Who deserve that treatment?
No, players deserve abuse in the stands, you know.
Even yesterday at the Dundalk match, I felt it was a terrible atmosphere. There was nobody singing, it was a bit strange. Yeah. The players came out to the pitch.
There's people roaring absolute dogs abuse at Rory Feely. There was a fella beside me just shouting, he's XYZ. Look, Feely, you know, we can be a little bit critical of players, but abusing them, and we'd never personally do it on here. I mean, like, we could have come on here tonight after 2 losses and the win and say, fuck this, fuck that, he needs to be out. You know, we have to get behind the team at every possible angle, especially with this last run into Europe, especially with a cup semi-final. So, players, anyone shouting abuse to players, that is just totally unwarranted. You can go fuck yourself, you know.
Yeah, 100%. It's not nice. And hearing it from the pitch, it's not nice at all.
Really?
It's not.
No, the opposition players absolutely go help.
Oh yeah, that's
go help
a letter. Yeah. Go for it, yeah. That's not about it.
What's your prediction for Saturday, Jordan? I know you've always got your big Bowles balls on and say 1-0.
Big Bowles balls at a narrow win. Yeah. Look, I want to see a clean sheet. I want to see
zero
see zero back on the board. Fucking go down there, just get 3 points. We've a little bit of a breather, I think. With a breather, we're going back into a mad fucking schedule again.
Yeah.
So get down there, get out of there, injury free, 3 points. I don't give a fuck what scores, I don't give a fuck who scores.
Yeah.
And I don't give a fuck because, well, it'll be fairly goose on the first away then.
Well, I'll be absolutely well oiled. And Christian, what do you think? Result now for Saturday? Probably like.
It's not easy, but I think the boys will get back and I think they'll win 3-0. I'm going for 3-0.
I think maybe a 2-1 or a 3-1. We have got to turn it around.
I don't think they're gonna concede. I think they're gonna be strong this weekend, and they're gonna get back on their feet and gonna win 3-0. That's what I'm going for.
Brilliant, lads. That's been great stuff this evening. Want to thank sponsors as always: Grand Cru Beers, Vault Fashions, and New Age Barbers. We usually get a couple of thousand people listening every week, Christian. So if you want to have a shout out to anyone, is anyone in particular? Probably want to tell your missus to stop texting him.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking stop texting him back.
It's only Jay texting me, but however.
Look, thanks for having me, lads. That's all I have to say.
I'm not paying you.
Oh, no, you're grand. I'll get fucking a grand after this.
I just have a quick shout out, probably on behalf of myself, John, and probably a lot of Bowes fans as well. The condolences to the O'Riordan family, who Manus O'Riordan passed away there over the weekend. An absolutely staunch man involved in the trade unions, so many organisations. The man even got a special mention off the president. Obviously, he's Luke's father and Neil O'Riordan's father as well. So, wish that family all the best over the next couple of days. It's going to be quite tough, and I'm sure everyone will be there for them, everyone in and around the club. So, really is the condolences to the O'Riordan family.
Absolutely, yeah, well said, Jay. There, as I think I only met Manus myself a couple of times, and one of them was at 4 o'clock in the morning, and we knocked on the door. We thought we were having a gaff party, and Luke goes gaff, and Manus opened the door. We looked at each other going, "Oh, bollocks," but we had a good 5-10 minute conversation with him.
Absolute legend. You know what? If there was ever a march going down, you know, Republican march or, lefty march going down the road, and Manus would always stand outside his house with the Spanish Republic flag proudly display it and salute everyone going by. And the man was an absolute legend, and look, as he said, it's absolutely shocking to hear of his death. So we wish the family all the best now going forward.
Yeah,
brilliant stuff, lads.
From every corner of the world came sailing the 15th International Brigade. They came to stand beside the Spanish people, to try and stem the rising fascist tide. Franco's allies were the powerful and wealthy. Frank Ryan's men came from the other side. Even the olives were bleeding as the battle for Madrid it thundered on. Truth and love against the force of evil, brotherhood against the fascist land. Viva l'équipe de brigade, no pass around the pledge that made him fight. Adelante is the crier of the hillside. Let us remember them tonight. And Bob Hillard was a Church of Ireland pastor. From Killarney across the Pyrenees he came. From Derry came a brave young Christian brother. Side by side they fought and died in Spain. And Tommy Woods, aged 17, died in Cordoba. With the Fianna he learned to hold a gun. From Dublin to the Villa del Rio, where he fought and died beneath the Spanish sun. Viva la Quinta Brigada, no pass around the pledge that made him fight. Adelante is the cry around the hillside. Let us remember them tonight. Many Irishmen heard the call of Franco, joined Hitler and Mussolini too. The propaganda from the pulpit and newspapers helped O'Duffy to enlist his crew. And the word came from the church, support the Nazi. Men of cloth, they failed again. But the bishops blessed the blue shirts down in Galway as they sailed beneath the swastika to Spain. Viva la Quinta Brigada, no pass around the pledge that made him fight. Adelante is the cry around the hillside. Let us remember them tonight. This song is a tribute to Frank Ryan, Kit Conway and Innie Cody too, Peter Daly, Charlie Regan and Hugh Bonner. Though many died, I can't but name a few. Danny Boyle, Blazer Brown and Charlie Donnelly, Liam Tomlinson and Jim Straney from the Falls, Jack Nelty, Tommy Patton and Frank Conway, Jim Foley, Tony Fox and Dick O'Neill. Viva la Quinta Brigada, no pass around the pledge that made him fight. Adelante is the crier on the hillside. Let us remember them tonight. Viva la Quinta Brigada, let us remember them tonight. Viva la Quinta Brigada, let us remember them tonight. Let us remember them tonight.